This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. And Superintendent Dr. Michael Lasher of Douglas Education Service District, getting ready for retirement. This is almost like an exit interview.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not exactly. How soon do you retire?
My last day is June 30th of this month.
So you've just got like another week and a half.
I do. Yeah.
Wow. So let's kind of back up. We haven't actually seen you in person in maybe two years.
I think
talked on the phone a number of times. But just to refresh folks, how long have you been at Douglas ESD?
I came to Douglas ESD in 2013. So it's 9 years at the end of this month.
And talk about your background, your career, some of the other things you've done over the course of your life.
Well, I've been in education probably for about 35 years. The first 10 were in universities or private colleges, community colleges as well. I started my career in information technology, and then when I first came to the ESD structure in the state of Oregon, I landed in Pendleton, Oregon, and spent 17 years with Umatilla-Moro ESD, which later became Intermountain ESD while I was there. There I was started out as the chief information officer, so I was just an IT geek with a small department, and we managed to grow that to from 3 people to 45 people. And so that success prompted me to get promoted into an operations position. And I left there as the assistant superintendent of operations and came to Douglas ESD in 2013 as the superintendent.
So kind of a different career path than most people that have this position.
Oh, yeah. I still get asked where I did my student teaching, and never been a teacher. Admire the profession greatly, but it wasn't my route.
And what led to getting into IT and things like that to begin with? Were you just like a geeky high school kid?
I was not. No, I think that the story I like to tell people, and I'll tell it for you today, is I flunked out of college and didn't know what to do with myself. So I went to and didn't have an income. So I went to the college job center and found the highest paying job they had, which was tin keying for a hospital in Spokane, Washington. And they taught me how to be a computer operator, and from there, sort of the rest is history. In the meantime, after having some children, I got my bachelor's degree, and then I got my master's degree. So it only took me 13 years to get my bachelor's. So if there are any of your listeners listening and wondering whether they should go back and do it, they should.
Why did it take that long?
Oh, I had other interests. Mostly it was, at first I didn't need a bachelor's degree to continue in information technology. IT was a very up-and-coming field. It was really, I started in it before the internet really got going. And so you needed to be able to adapt and change quickly, and I was able to do that. And obviously it was about learning all the time. After my children were born, I knew that if I was going to advance in the career any further, and particularly if I was working for an educational institution, I'd need to get a bachelor's degree in order to, get into supervision and that kind of thing. So
many things related to what's now IT and the computer aspects are so different than when you began.
Oh, yes, yes. As some of the listeners will know, they may have experienced this if they're 60 years old or older, but the first computer I worked on was a TRS-80 that you got from Radio Shack back in high school, and that was a long time ago, and things have changed a lot.
Well, and I even remember a class in middle school, I think it was a year-long class I took, maybe 2 years, on basic like writing programs,
yep.
And the way that you did that then, and you walked out with this really multi sheet or a very long piece of paper to do just something really basic, and it had taken you a long amount of time to get that done.
Yes.
And then you
yes.
look at what's happening today, and you're like, whoa, what was that?
Yeah, right. Well, it's absolutely remarkable. And with and as technology continues to change, and with artificial intelligence coming down the pike and already here in some industries, it's just going to be going faster and faster.
So how did you get to arriving at the conclusion that this summer was the time to retire?
Well, the pandemic, I think, has been hard on us all. And I was eligible to retire in March of this year. So I took the opportunity to do that. I decided that it was really probably a good time for me. Part of it was related to COVID and just the adjustment that we all had to adapt to, and it was a very difficult time for a lot of people. I also just wanted to travel. I think many people during the pandemic reevaluated what they were doing, and did they really want to do that or keep doing that, or really want to do something else? And I love working for the Douglas ESD. We have an absolutely wonderful board. We've got a great staff. I couldn't be happier there, but I just wanted to turn the page and do something different. And that'll include a lot of travel, I think. My wife and I are planning a trip to Italy this fall and in October, and we'll be going to Canada this summer. And I'm already planning to go to Scandinavia next year, and probably someplace in January too. Someplace warm, though.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea. The pandemic really did give everybody a chance to kind of reevaluate their life. I mean, the stresses that folks went through, for some, losses of family members or spouses, things like that. And though people might be relatively happy with their situation, there comes a point for a lot of people where they look around and go, okay, and what happens if, I don't make it to tomorrow? What did I miss out on?
Right.
And if I've got the means to do it, maybe I should rechart my path.
Yes. Well, that's exactly true. My brother was killed by COVID in November of this last year during one of the Delta waves. He was fully vaccinated and boosted, but he had just come off a series of prostate cancer treatments, radiation and therapy, and maybe that lessened his immune system or something. But he ended up passing away at 75. And, that was really one of those things where, boy, if it can happen that close to you, I sure want to do something that I really want to do with my time left. And one of the things I want to do is travel a lot more.
Talk about the challenge of overseeing the ESD through a pandemic.
Well, I guess what I really learned through the pandemic as far as organizational leadership was, when I came to Douglas ESD, and really for the entire time that I have been here leading up to the pandemic, we were trying to grow the organization, find new ways to help serve districts. We were really expanding our presence in early learning and early childhood special education. And we were, growing and trying to get better and better on the process side and on the operations side. So there was a lot of, seeking efficiencies and continuous improvement and all of those types of, things that any CEO would do to try to make the organization more relevant, as well as more, capable and effective and efficient in the operations. So, that was sort of leading up to the pandemic. During the pandemic, my role really changed. We weren't able to move as quickly because we didn't know what the next 2 weeks was going to look like. So we were always sort of walking in jello or sand or something. I mean, it was just, it was a situation where you couldn't really plan ahead very well. And you couldn't make a lot of assumptions about, is there going to be a lockdown? Is there going to be, what are the mandates that are going to come out from the governor's office? And all of that was made a lot of people anxious. And so my role really turned to being that of, you know, I guess I would describe it as the great reassurer. I mean, we're going to get through this together. We appreciate the work that you're doing. We really want you to take care of yourself as employees of ours. We want you to be healthy. We want you to, you know, do your job. But, you know, even though you may be working at a distance or you may feel inadequate because of the limitations that are placed on you by either the requirements that we were living under or just that you weren't able to do your job quite as well, you were doing the best you can. And we appreciated that. I think that really became my responsibility. And I sent out memos to the staff once every 2 weeks to probably every 2 weeks during the height of the pandemic, just to, you know, try to be uplifting and say, you know, here's our plan. Here's what we're doing. Here's what it means to you. And, you know, just trying to be very, very communicative because nobody knew what was going on and everybody was guessing what was going to happen next. And, you know, so we were, people just needed someone to talk to them about what it meant to them and their job.
Did it really become a 7-day-a-week job?
You know, I tried not to. It's always, I think being a superintendent is always a 7-day-a-week job for most of us. I think it's important to try to keep some distance between you and the work so you can have some time to refresh yourself and reflect and, you know, which sets you up to do a better job on Monday. So I would try to, you know, but I can't tell you how many times I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning and was up for 3 or 4 or 5 hours because I was thinking about work anyway. So why not get up and send a few emails?
Well, so. And even there would be times during the height of things in 2020 where the governor's office, and I had never gotten emails from the governor's office at 6 a.m. on Sundays
right.
until the pandemic.
Yes.
And could actually get people to reply and answer questions I had. But I mean, the governor's office might put out something or the Oregon Health Authority might put out something Sunday morning that was going to impact what you do on Monday.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Everyone was reacting the best they could. I think that was, I mean, a one regret that I have, maybe not regret, but disappointment I have about the pandemic is I think there were a lot of people that thought, well, we should, people in like my position as a superintendent, we should know what to do. You know, we should know what to do during this pandemic. And it was like, well, how the hell would we know what to do? And so, you know, no one had seen a pandemic since the early 1900s. And of course, this was a modern age. And, you know, thank God for video conferencing and Zoom. And, you know, thank God for the internet. I can only imagine if a pandemic like this would have occurred at the beginning of my career before technology was at the point that it is now, it would have been absolutely devastating to the economy and to the population. So, I think we all got through as best we could and we all tried our best. There was a lot of disagreement about what that should be. And, you know, I give a lot of grace to the folks in the governor's office and the Oregon Department of Ed. I don't think they got every call right, but, you know, who knows? I mean, and, you know, so I try to be a little bit more philosophical about, you know, I really do trust that people generally try to do their best work and all the time and are trying to do the right thing by kids the right time. So
more with Michael Lasher when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1249 inside Douglas County, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1252. Lars Larson coming at 1. David Littlejohn with True Wealth Radio, part of KQEN Local Talk at 4. Tomorrow, we're going to preview the Summer Arts Festival with Sarah Holborough of Umpqua Valley Arts. Michael Asher, superintendent from the Douglas Education Service District, for 9 more days.
That's correct.
Does that, like, hit you at all yet?
Yes. Oh, yeah. In multiple ways, actually. Just this week, actually, it's kind of struck me in a way that I know I have feelings. I don't frankly know what they are, but I think it's just a sense of finality of this is my end of my career, at least as far as I can see, in education and in public service.
So during the past couple of years, with all the virtual, your technological background was obviously real helpful. How effective do you think some of the online education was, especially at the front end?
I think that it was effective for a subset of students. I think there are a group of students in every district and in every school, frankly, that could benefit from online education, and it, you know, potentially they could do that exclusively because they just have a temperament for it. They're self-starters, they have support at home and they have a good internet connection, and there's an ability for them to, you know, there are a lot of kids today, and I suppose at all times, that have had a social anxiety, and you know, that can prevent you from doing really good work in the school building. So I think for some kids, it was really welcome. I'd probably put that, you know, the rate of, you know, the percentage at about 15% or something. It's certainly not for everyone, and it's probably not for the majority. I think, you know, the people becoming comfortable with Zoom and some of the learning management systems, as they're called, that schools are now using more, really have helped boost and spread out technology to kids and sort of empower learning in a way that, you know, maybe wasn't there previously. But I still do think that, you know, being in a school and being around your peers and, you know, having access to public education is still the best way to do that, you know, best way to be educated.
In the midst of all this, ESD's been busy. I mean, you moved around a bit just before all of the pandemic things, but you've got a big remodel project that's still going on.
Well, it's actually wrapped up now. Mm. A couple weeks ago, we ended, we took the building over on Stevens, which is a 20,000 square foot former Safeway building that... I would welcome listeners to go over and look at it, and particularly the interior, particularly if they'd been in the old before it was remodeled, because it is absolutely stunning. We went out for a loan, I guess it was a loan. And we're very fortunate in hitting the markets. We ended up with a $7.8 million loan that allowed us to, and the interest rate was under 2% for 15 years, and we were able to remodel that building for about $4.5 million. That's going to be our new early learning and parenting resource center that houses all of our early learning programs. There's probably about 100 people in that building. When it's fully occupied. We also purchased a building in Medford that our early intervention and early childhood special education program has been expanding, and they were in severe need of space and kind of spread out in these small offices all over Medford, and we consolidated them, and that was wonderful. And then we paid off the previous loan that we had for the remodeling that we helped with in the library when we made that our main offices. So all of these capital projects, just, you know, we were very fortuitous. Our board, as far as the financing, our board was ready and prepared, and we just hit the market just right. So,
and just about out of time, as we go out, give us 15 seconds of your final thoughts about your career.
I feel very proud and very gratified of the things that I have helped do here in Douglas County, but It's really been a team effort, all the other administrators and staff and the superintendents and the districts have all been crucial to our success at Douglas ESD.
Michael Lasher from the Douglas Education Service District heading to retirement 9 days. Thanks for being here.
Thank you very much for asking me, Tom.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team, News Radio 1240 KQEN.